Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Everyone, welcome to episode 322 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have Seacaller.
Hello.
Everyone else fucked off for Christmas, I guess. Bye.
We're only like a few days away from Christmas, so I guess everybody's busy.
Nobody wanted to finish the last regular Tsunami of the year.
Yeah, we've got two marathons before the new year starts.
Why is Primal 4 episodes only?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't understand. And then the other one is a marathon of original Fooly. They said Fooly Cooly Season 1, which, ew, don't call it that. It's Fooly Cooly.
Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty telling to me. I think Fooly Cooly part whatever.
4 and 5?
Yeah, I think that's right around the corner. I bet we'll do the original Fooly Cooly, then they'll go into 2 and 3, and then they'll go into 4 and 5.
You think they're going to rerun those other Fooly Coolies?
I think so. I mean, like, I guess I can't be certain.
They could,
like,
they could. What's in the rerun slot right now? Primal? Yeah, they could do that.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't think they've replayed them ever since, you know, they came out and, you know, they did like once or something, but that was at the time shortly after it came out. So it's like, surely they're still sitting on them. I assume they own those because I think they paid to have them made. So, yeah, I think it's logical, but who knows? I mean, for the only reason I would say it might not happen is because 4 and 5 are not likely to be connected story-wise.
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess that's possible, too. I kind of thought that they were going to be their own things, but yeah, I just mean, like, it seems pretty telling to me that they would make a marathon out of this show so close to, I don't know, it just seems like they could have run anything and they did this. So it seems like must be, and again, they did something similarly recently when they, what was it? They ran the last few episodes of My Hero Academia that led right into the new season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of My Hero Academia, My Hero Academia, episode 116, One's Justice. Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
You can't call it that.
You're not allowed to call it that. One, it was a bad name with the game did it. It doesn't make any sense. Ugh. Anyway, yeah. All the villains are having a big important meeting in the underground. Like, this literally looks like a big cistern. They're in a cistern. And then some guy comes in and is like, sorry to interrupt your big meeting, but we're under attack!
Yeah.
And they super are, because the heroes are just crushing them. Like, it's total annihilation out there. Shut down.
If you were, like, I guess I don't understand why these guys were so lax. Like, they're like, hey, the meeting's starting. Why don't you stop yelling? It's like, you guys are a secret organization of evil people. You don't think someone's going to attack you?
No, they honestly did not. This is like, the thing is that the Liberation Army has just been like, we've been so secretive for so long. Nobody knows we're here. Especially not that number three hero who's definitely working for us.
Yeah.
Not the heroes.
This is the big reveal.
Twice.
The triple play, or what is it? The triple agent.
Twice in this episode, it's like all the shots and the way he talks is like, they're kind of just like, if this wasn't a hero, he'd just be the villain. Right? This is just a big this is just a big dramatic anime betrayal, but it's the hero.
Kinda. I mean, what makes it feel that way is because Twice is actually like a character I like that's being betrayed here. Twice is like the poor. I feel bad for the guy. He obviously has done bad things, but he's also like wanted to do good and just makes a bunch of bad decisions in life. So, and I mean, to be fair, I mean, Hawks was being like, he was saying the same things like, I like you, whatever Twice's real name is. Because I really like you. I don't want to do this.
I will stab you in the end. And he does.
Yeah.
Womp womp. Bye, Twice. You're the only one of the villains that I actually cared about.
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm with you there. And
you're the only one who I'm like, ah, he didn't really deserve that. Everyone else is like, the world is against me, a blood-sucking serial killer. The world is against... It's like, yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that one girl, she literally is a blood-sucking serial killer.
The world is against me, thief. I just steal stuff because I like it. I don't know.
It was a pretty good episode because I think they did a good job with Twice in this episode. Like, I mean, other than I'll say that it took him way too long to die. Like, it's like, you know, when they always have that joke about like someone's death scene, like having like the Oscar moment that takes forever. And this episode kind of felt like that a little bit.
Like where several occasions where they die and then wake up and go, and one more thing.
Yeah. It was just, he just went on like a long monologue that went on for like 8 minutes or something. And it was just like, okay, I like this, but man, you keep going and going and going. He has to like go and like his blob version has to like go and say goodbye to everyone.
So what I'm really saying is 47 years ago, I'm bleeding out. But
to be fair, I mean, like overall, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know if he's really dead. Maybe he is, but like, if he is, then that was a pretty good send off for him, I guess.
Yeah, he's dead. Bummer. This is a big moment. Elsewhere in this episode, hey, look, technically, it's me. I'm doing stuff. Dark Shadow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to wreck this giant underground lair with my super edgy darkness. And then Dark Shadow is going to come back and go, holy shit, there's that huge dude. And everyone's like, don't worry about that huge dude. He won't matter. There's no way he's going to do anything. Can't happen. Right?
No, it's going to happen.
No, it isn't. We got this.
It's called foreshadowing.
And then, oh God, what is this big dude's name?
Let me look it up real quick, because I know what you're talking about.
He's like, get in my stomach. What?
Oh, you mean Fat Gum?
Yes, I'm...
Okay. I thought you were still talking about the big giant guy.
Tokiyami, get in my stomach. What?
Fat Gum has a very weird power.
Get in my belly! Anyway. So sad. Bye, Twice.
Yeah.
You were definitely the best character on the villain team. And now it's like, hey, it's a bunch of jerks.
Oh, yeah. What that one guy showed up and started burning Hawks. The guy with the stitches.
Oh, yeah. Here's Dobby. I don't know why they let Dobby make everything go out of control. But, meh. Anyway, how about some Maiden Abyss? Abyss, the Golden City of the Scorching Sun, Episode 6, The Luring. In this episode, we start off with Riko legitimately thinking, okay, so can I give up my legs or my eyes or my internal organs and still make it to the bottom of the abyss? I think I'll give up my, and then Majikaja's like, nope, don't even, I don't care, but you're obviously not making the right decision here, so don't do that.
She even said the thing that we were joking about, like she could just have Reg carry her around. It's like even in the show they acknowledge that.
It's like, oh come on.
Yeah.
Really? But it's time for the month. It's time for the luring, aka the part where they lure in a big animal and they strip it for parts because they can't leave. And this month's on the menu is the blob. The flying blob.
Yeah. So this was actually as confusing as this show is in this season. This episode mostly made sense to me. There are parts that I still don't quite understand, but like basically the gist is that they lure this thing in. The Hollows don't know how to defeat it, but Rico is like, I can help. And everyone's just like, you're a little tiny kid. You're just going to die.
But then she's like, check this out with some mirrors and a fire.
Yeah, she basically has got the smarts. That's her power, is that she's got the brains and or the ingenuity. And so she cuts off some of her hair.
She cut off a bunch of her hair to give to Maji Kaja, so he just turns into Speed Force.
Yeah, and I kind of like it. She like rides him like a motorcycle, sort of.
And it's like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. And I'll tell you what, I kind of like. I like the look she's got going on with that short hair. I'm sure it won't stay, but
the short hair is sometimes the long. It's always like a coin flip between. Oh, a character dramatically cut their long hair. Coin flip. Better or worse?
Yeah.
I think it might be a little bit better.
Yeah, I always usually lean more towards short hair looking better. But yeah, it looks cool. But yeah, she uses speed to get around, and then she realizes that this thing is floating. And so they come up with this plan to like use a big net, basically.
Yep. They beat this blob with a mirror and some fire and a net.
Yep.
Except it didn't quite work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, everything was hunky-dory. Everyone seemed like, hey, we won! And then, uh-oh.
Oh, blob back up. But don't worry, Rico also has superpower action robot.
Yeah, so...
Activate Reg White.
Yes. So is this the first time we've seen a white whistle used for, like, I guess what it's meant to do? I don't think I've ever seen the white whistle blown and something of consequence happen.
Surely something happened in the movie, right?
I don't remember this happening. No.
Well, also, Rico's white whistle is now way cooler because that one dude worked on it. And also, maybe, what did he say he did?
Well, he...
Everyone was freaking out because he said, I did this with the stone.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't remember it either.
He just basically turned it into,
actual whistle.
They call it an instrument in the show. They say now it is an instrument, which I guess is a whistle. Whistle is an instrument, technically. Anyway, she blows the whistle and we learn that, through someone mentions this, I don't know who, someone says that the whistle, Meiji Majikaja says that, the whistle, oh no, no, it's, what's her face? The tall girl. She says that, the white whistles, have the power to something about the relics. Like they empower relics or they make relics activate or something to that effect. And since Reg himself is a relic, yeah, we get White Reg, the superpower version.
White Reg is cool.
Interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, they beat the big blob. Hooray. That one dude got fucked up. He just got melted completely. Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought Ma was going to die again, but saved at the last second, I guess. Or wait, did Ma die?
Ma did not die. Ma got almost got blobbed, but that was when White Reg.
Okay.
And then it's like, okay, so somebody needs to explain the whole point, this whole village thing. And Waco's like, Well, it's going to be super fucking dark and fucked up, but here we go.
Cool. I've been looking forward to this.
I think it's ironic that it's literally being, like, pushed off to next year.
Oh, you're right. For us. To be fair, though, like, that's probably a good place to, like, start the new year as an episode that basically is a recap of the events that led up to the village, I guess. So, yeah, we're going to finally learn how this thing got there. I mean, it's what we know, or what I know, I should say, is that having watched this episode is the three sages started the village and they feel guilty about it. Yeah, that's basically all I know.
Well, Waco feels guilty about it. The other one's not as much.
Okay. And we also learned that the one girl with the four arms now, she apparently is the most valuable thing.
They introduced her as the embodiment of value.
Yeah.
So if you get, like, anything from her, you can just easily buy Nanachi back. Oh, right, Nanachi's asleep forever.
Well, yeah, until they figure out the solution. I'm with you. I mean, like, I get what you're saying now, where she's the goal now is to get Nanachi back.
Right. And to do that, they have to get, like, a fingernail off of Fapata, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, at least there's a clear goal, unlike Yashahime.
Okay, let's get started.
Yashahime, Princess Half-Demon, Episode 42, The Collapse of the Windmill of Time, is not a thing that happened in this episode.
It's about to.
It sure looked like it just worked.
Oh, you're right. Well, I mean, I thought, okay, so maybe they're hinting about what's going to happen in the next episode.
Anyway, Toa and Setsuna and Moroha is like, let's go see Grandma. And it's like, sup, Grandma? And she's like, okay, you want to go through the Windmill of Time? Cool. But everyone else who did it, tried to do it, died, and now you have to beat up all those dudes. They're in one dude. He's very angry.
Yeah.
Beat him up.
This guy's so generic. I couldn't even remember his name. He's just some guy.
Me neither.
He's like, meanwhile, I'm going to fight you.
Meanwhile, oh god, I'm forgetting the villain's name!
Oh, Kinemaru.
Kinemaru is like, oh, by the way, I made that sword that Toa has so that it sucks out her soul, and then you, my daughter, get to take over her body. And it's like, what?
Since when? Yeah. I mean, I guess it does feel like it kind of came out of thin air, but I will say that, like, at least it gives Setsuna a reason, Toa a reason not to use a sword. Although I guess she doesn't know that.
Not that she knows.
Yeah. But as viewers, we know every time she uses that, it's getting her closer and closer to. Yeah. They explain in this episode again, I won't remember the terms, but like one is their Crocodile just joined, asking if it's too late to join. I'm going to say no. You can join. Just that he said that, like, you have, like, two kinds of spirit. There's the spirit that moves you, and then, like, your living soul. So the soul will get, like, removed, and then, but the moving spirit will remain, and then, yeah, what's-her-face can go in there. That's the plan, I guess.
Anyway, I'm sure that's gonna happen.
Hello, Crocodile.
Sorry about that, family stuff.
Oh, no problem. Well, we're just about finished talking about, we're kind of breezing through this as it's just me and Grex. We were up through Yashahime.
Okay. Well, I guess just to briefly cover things that you already touched upon in My Hero Academia and Maiden Abyss, I would say I thought it was a very strong episode of MHA. I think being this is the last non-marathon of the year, I thought it was kind of a point in which to end this series for the year. Obviously, there's going to be some bias, but like I feel like this episode was strong enough that you could potentially maybe for some awards, but again, recency bias could be kind of a bitch, so you know, don't want to throw it in there too fast. I knew Twice in the manga from like Cultural Osmosis, but it was so early into this arc. But yeah, I don't know, I just felt everything went were strong, everything made sense. Hawk's rationale, what are you trying to do? And Twice the rationale, what are you trying to do? And of course, this final farewell to Toga. Again, very strong episode of MHA. I thought it was pretty superlative. And then I guess for, what to say about Made in Abyss is that it feels like, I don't know, we're kind of undoing maybe a little bit of character development Nanachi got. We spent so many episodes in the first season about Nanachi getting over Midi and having to let them go. And you know, let the pass on and whatnot, and then we're back here, and like now she's like, oh, we fuck everything. Let me just way to stay with Midi, and then Riko has to do her like was almost about to sacrifice her body part, and then this whole thing, like I feel like it's kind of retreading old ground a little bit in that sense. I think that's a little unfortunate. I assume at some point Riko and Reg will figure out some way to rescue Nanachi without giving up the hearts and other necessary internal organs. I don't know, it feels a little bit like a retread for the character, and I'm not a fan of that. But yeah, that's what I want to say about those two series.
Okay.
So anyway, in Yashahime, Rion and Riku decide, we're going to fight Kirin Maru. And it's like, good luck with that. Sure you are. And then annoyingly, the show presents it as if he's actually struggling against them when they're really just going, eh. And it's like, really?
It is interesting that, obviously there's, like, there are no match for Big Daddy Kimaru, or however you say his name, I'll figure out how to pronounce that one day, but, like, where was the spunk in Fighting Spirit when she was being randomly captured by, some random half-demon and getting killed and whatnot? I don't get the sense that she just learned how to fight it all from past however many days, years, or whatever you want to call it, but...
What is Kirin Maru? I ask again. What is Kirin Maru's, like, evil plan?
That's the problem. It's like...
Why is he the villain? Because of... What is the thing he wants that makes him the villain?
That's it. That's the problem. He doesn't. Like, when you ask him what his plan is, he'll be like, I want to save the humans in the future. It's like, oh. Yeah. Oh,
I thought you wanted to bring about the degenerate age.
Whatever. He wants to bring about the degenerate age, but I don't understand why saving humans in the future will do that.
It's weird. Like, my understanding is that he wants to, like, impress Dog Demon posthumously or something. It just doesn't really track very well. It's not even like, oh, I'm going to take over the world, or oh, I'm going to, like, I don't know. It's just, I kind of agree with you guys in that. I feel like a lot of villains, even if they you think their rationales are kind of more uninteresting or whatnot, they're usually at least kind of clear. I still feel kind of muddled here.
Now, I will say that I do not have high hopes for this, but it seems like we are about to get what we've always wanted, which is the characters are going to the future.
Yes! Except they're going to the dark future where everything's weird and gross and not the cool future that you want to see them in.
I guess.
I'm hoping this isn't some, like, Simpsons GIF monkey paw curling, and it's just, like, the show gets even worse, and we're like, ah, fuck, we should have just stayed in medieval times or something.
I don't know. I think anything is better than them just fucking around in medieval times, personally, but we'll see. Yeah, everyone but Kirin Maru went through the windmill.
I think he did go through.
Oh, I can't remember. I know that was at the very last moment of the episode.
I mean, who knows what's actually going on there? I don't.
I think it's like his arm from the future is pulling his past self through or something.
Could be.
I don't know.
Yeah. Mr. Kirin is like, I got you, fam.
Oh, yeah, and is what's his face dead?
Which who? Riku?
Pretty boy from hell or something, or... Oh, Riku.
Riku. Like, he was, like, didn't he die? Or am I remembering wrong?
I mean, he got run through with... Rion accidentally ran him through with her sword, so maybe.
Yeah.
Did she accidentally run him through, or did it was, like, Kimura took her sword and jammed Riku with it. It felt like more.
Well, it's more like she's so weak. He just grabbed her arms and was like, "Stop stabbing Riku.
Stop stabbing yourself. Stop stabbing."
Yeah. Anyway, he didn't look like he survived, but then again, in this show, you never know. Death is kind of pointless in this show.
I mean, he's got to die sometime. Mm-hmm. He's not making it to the end of the series, I can tell you that. I just feel it in my bones.
This is when he should die, because it seems like we're transitioning to a whole new setting, so.
Rip Muraha and parents' interactions. It was fun for a bit. Anyway, how about some One Piece? One Piece, episode 599, Shocking! The true identity of the mystery man Virgo is the head of... He's the vice admiral in charge of G5. There you go.
I kind of forgot that.
Also a pirate who works for Joker.
Now that I didn't forget.
Who's Joker? I don't know, maybe it's the laughing dude in the OP, that one guy we've seen before.
Oh, they say it at the end of the episode.
Don Flamingo Do Quixote.
Yeah. Don Quixote Do Flamingo. Also, did you guys notice that they don't say Virgo? They say, like, Vergo?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really question it. I assumed, like, do you feel that's incorrect pronunciation, or is that just something you notice?
I mean, are we supposed to just call it, like as in the Zodiac? Like, the Zodiac sign Virgo?
I'm not saying which way is right. I'm just saying I always thought it was Virgo, but they are choosing to say Vergo. So it must be Vergo.
I got to say, I really don't like the voice for him.
Okay, so I took what you said last week, and I paid a little closer attention to it this week. I understand where you're coming from.
Like it's not that the delivery is bad, it's that there is no delivery. It's just this guy with his voice reading the script.
I think what I like is the sound of his voice, but I agree that I think it doesn't feel as professional as the rest of the cast.
This is like a Sentai voice acting performance.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would go that far, but it's...
I don't know the character super well, and I haven't seen the Japanese original of this, so I don't really have a reference to compare with. I don't know, I just generally thought this was fine. Like, he sounds like a stoic bad guy. Like, I don't know, I guess... Like, he disappears after this arc, right? He's, like, important here, but, like, they kick his ass eventually, you never hear from him again, right? That's my understanding of how this goes?
I mean, yeah, sure.
Okay, but, like, so, I don't know. It just seems, like, perfectly adequate.
What do you think? Do you think he sounds robotic?
Well, perhaps, but not in a way that necessarily I feel doesn't make sense for who the character might be. Because, you know, like, some people generally sound kind of like, not really flashy, boisterous, lively characters that you can get that impression. Like, I don't know, like, it seems to fit the type of character he seems to be from what I'm looking at.
Again, yeah, I can agree.
The original Japanese version, I don't have a lot of like preconceived notions of what Virgo or who he should be or what he should sound like. So.
I don't remember his original Japanese voice. I agree with you that like it sound like I think this is what he's supposed to sound like, but I can't tell if his robotic nature is a deliberate choice or if it's more like the voice actor's skill.
Maybe I can.
Not sure.
Just look up a scene.
It doesn't offend me. It's fine. It just doesn't sound as... It sounds like... The one thing I agree with you on, Croc, is that he does sound like he's from a different show for some reason. Like, his voice doesn't jive with the rest of the cast. But I will say that the reason I said I liked it is because I think maybe that's why I liked it, because he sounds so different. Like, he has, like, a very unique sounding voice.
I mean... I could just post this. It's like, here's Japanese Virgo.
Yeah, let me listen here. Here, I'll put a clip in the show.
You think the boss doesn't know what's going on? I had hoped you were smarter than that. To be honest with you, we don't trust this Caesar character either. The guy is shady. That's why the boss sent an undercover agent to the island. The lovely Monet here.
It's just the English dub voice is leaning all on the sound of the voice to be threatening, and there's no like actual like delivery there. Again.
Okay.
It's so bizarrely flat. Like on it's like the guy is could sound would sound the same reading his grocery list.
Anyway,
other than that, what else happened in this episode?
Well, I'm looking at your notes here, and your next point says, quote, fuck you and your missing kids. What is that?
Oh, yeah. We go over to talk with these parents who are like, our kids are really not, they did not get lost at sea. They literally, like, they really ran out to play and did not go on a boat. What the hell is going on? This one asshole is just like, shut the fuck up. They're lost at sea, or I'll shoot you.
Yeah, this was some pretty extreme, you know, Marine's gonna Marine kind of nonsense here. But I guess it shows you the effectiveness of Virgo in terms of cutting his tracks and getting these test subjects for Caesar.
So, like, I guess this, like, we've seen G5 people with Smoker, and they seem pretty cool. I guess this is another group of G5 people that are, like, assholes. Is that right?
Oh, well, pretty much.
I wouldn't say Joker's crew are cool so much as I'm not Joker, excuse me. Smoker's cool. I wouldn't say Smoker's crew are necessarily cool. It's more that Smoker keeps their asses in check, it feels like. It does feel like G5's kind of made up of scoundrels in general, but the scoundrels who work directly under Smoker are kind of better than the rest because Smoker, again, keeps their shit in order. That's what it feels like a little bit to me.
Well, anyway, these guys are terrible. And, oh, I did like, though, that they, you could see, I liked the touch that when they held up the pictures of their kids, it's like the, clearly the same kids, and, but the parents look just like their kids.
Of course
like,
they do.
Identically.
That's a problem with a lot of anime where, like, children seem to be, like, miniature clones of their parents and not the actually children who are, like, recombined traits of their parents.
Well, right. And Boruto and what his sister, and it's like, who could their parents be?
Well, at least Boruto does the thing where, like, they mix them. In this, it's like the child looks identical, like looks like the adult as a child, basically. Because we don't see both their parents; we just see one of them, and it's like my daughter, and it's like that's just you as a child.
My clone.
Oh, that reminds me of that. What was that show? Space show, and like that aired and recently. Kind of got
oh,
a bit of
fight. Right. That's oh god, oh fuck.
What are you talking about?
Mark seems to know exactly the show I'm talking about, but I can't remember the name either.
I know this one. It's the manga. I see the manga on Viz all the time. What is it? Fuck.
Describe something from it.
Seven kids are like in space camp, but then they get like shot out into space and they have to survive and every fucking twist in the world. Happens.
The end twist is that they're actually not. Their parents aren't actually their parents, but they're actually clones of their parents. Like, so they're younger clones of their parents, and there's this whole, like, you know, illegal nonsense that's going on, and yeah, so.
But also every single different, like, think of every single twist you could possibly cram into a single show, and it had it all.
Interesting. Okay.
I just can't remember what the fuck the name was. Anyway. Yeah, also, meanwhile, Nami and Usopp are, like, trying to keep a whole control of these, at this point, like, roided out, rampaging children, and that Usopp's like, okay, come on. I know they're kids, but this dude is picking up a building and throwing it at us. I need to shoot him.
Oh, just for, the show is called Astra Lost in Space.
That's right.
Just so we, like, could, like, go to sleep. Without this gnawing at us. Just want to get that out there. Anyway, yeah. Back to One Piece.
So the kids are attacking. They can't subdue them anymore. Unfortunately, guess who shows up with candy?
It's a Caesar clown. Look, kids, I've got some candy that doesn't have razor blades in it.
I mean, don't all kids love clowns? That's how it goes, right?
All kids, many kids do not like clowns. Babies do not like clowns because they look deformed.
Anyway, he's got the candy. This sucks. Meanwhile, we cut to a brief shot of Chopper, who's like sneaking around looking for clues.
Stealth Chopper.
And then we see Smiley, and they reveal Smiley's axolotl form.
It's so cute. I love him. Zoro, can we keep him? I'll take him for walkies. Hey, were you probably were wondering the entire last episode, why the fuck does Virgo just have a stake on his face? And here's your answer. He had steak for breakfast, and it's just kind of stuck there.
I don't know, I guess that's supposed to be like, oh, look at Virgo, he's so quirky, isn't that just like a class One Piece character? But I don't know.
Yeah, because like he's otherwise so completely serious, and then it's just like, and he also gets enormous pieces of food stuck to his face.
Yeah, his gag is that he's a messy eater. And so every time he eats something, it gets stuck to his face.
I mean, I don't remember all the versions of this, but I'm looking forward to him like drinking something and then just having a bottle stuck to his face.
Yeah, or like he'll have like a spoon on his face. You'll see. That's just his quirk.
Because nobody in, like, very few characters in One Piece can be 100% serious all of the time. Like, give me the characters in One Piece who are all pure serious.
Ikunu is pretty all
serious. Ikunu, yeah. He's pretty all serious all the time.
Yeah. We do see, though, that Virgo is pretty damn good with haki.
Yeah. He's just beating the shit out of Law. And he's like, hey, Law, remember when I beat the shit out of you constantly? Yeah, that was cool.
I'm sure to explain Bonk. How Virgo got Law's heart at some point. Or did Law already say how to happen?
I think he was like, and it was like, hey, Caesar, let me chill here. And to make sure you trust me, here's my heart. And he gave it to, like, Caesar and Monet. But he didn't know Monet was also working with Joker and Virgo. So now Virgo has his heart.
Okay, did they confirm that, or is that just speculation on your part? Or you've seen ahead, so you just know.
I feel like that they confirmed that.
Maybe I don't remember that, but
like they showed a scene of Law being like, "Hey, Caesar, here's my heart."
I think it's pretty clear by this episode that Monet is with Virgo and not with Caesar, because she's like, she's doing her thing where she just thinks everything is funny and she's just chuckling. Oh, Law, you're dying, ha ha ha. And so Monet is pretty sketch as well.
Anyway, who's this Joker character? It's Doflamingo. And it's kind of crazy because this is like Doflamingo was introduced all the way back before Skypiea.
Well, yeah, and he has shown up a couple times in the manga, but only insofar as like being seen like at a meeting or something.
Yeah, I definitely remember him showing up a few times before, like in the anime with a speaking role before. But
yeah,
he shows up to fuck up Bellamy after Bellamy gets wrecked. He shows up at like Warlord meetings, and then of course he's at the Marineford arc because all of them are there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but yeah, I think this is like, well, anyway, we know where this is going.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy. He's one of the warlords, so he's a big deal.
He's big bad. Anyway, also big bad is Naruto Shippuden.
どんでん返しでたとこ勝負狙うは一等賞 I can feel it どんな時だって光を信じてる。
Naruto Shippuden episode 422, The Ones Who Will Inherit. I saw this episode title and just thought it was a normal, another canon episode of Shippuden. But no.
No, this was a Konohamaru filler about him learning how to make more and more advanced sexy jutsus.
Except not actually, but no, it's about how Konohamaru learned how to do the Rasengan by turning into sexy ladies and thinking about boobs.
Just for my refreshment, the last episode ended with Naruto doing a big damn heroes moment, saving Mike Guy and, like, threatening Madara, right? That's, I didn't hallucinate that, right?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Alright, just make sure. Okay, just make sure, like, they couldn't be possibly as silly enough to follow that up with something like this, but, you know, maybe I shouldn't underestimate the Naruto production crew.
This is Shippuden. Of course they're going to do that. Yeah. They're going to take all the wind out of everything that just happened and do this, where we get to watch the Genin trio all turn into sexy jutsus and
in public, in a family park.
We get to learn about Ebisu's porn collection.
I think the only joke in that line that I thought was really funny was the one where the Konoichi, I forgot her name, but, you know, she's part of Konohamaru's crew, like when they were walking away with
Moegi.
What's her name?
Moegi.
That's her name? Okay. But when she was looking away with disgust and shame at Ebichu when they were walking away with his porn and whatnot, that I thought was pretty funny. But everything else was hit pretty flat.
The only thing I liked is that, of course, Naruto is terrible at teaching other people how to do things. He just said, well, first you got a gah, and then you got a blam.
Yeah.
All right, you got this. See you later.
You know what bugs me about that is Konohamaru. Like, why didn't he just go, well, what does ga mean? But he doesn't do that.
It would be a total waste of time.
I guess. Anyway, yeah. So that's, oh, and you know what's even worse is that, like, this isn't even over.
Oh, God, there's another episode of fucking this.
I think so.
Fuck.
Because they kind of end it before he's mastered it.
It's like, and here's why he whipped out a Rasengan in the pain arc. I was like, okay, cool. Now back to two episodes of canon, followed by Infinite Filler Yomi, I'm sure.
I've been hyping up that Infinite Filler Yomi for a long time now. How far away are we from it?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. That's always been a Seda thing. He always looks it up. I don't know. So yeah. I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, I kind of like the lighthearted, goofy episodes. And so for that reason, I don't hate this episode, but I also just I don't really care. It just sort of exists.
Me neither.
I like Shippuden in general. It just kind of exists.
It barely exists.
This one didn't anger me like typical episodes where I'm like, I want Sasuke to stop talking and existing.
So yeah, Naruto Shippuden. There you go. And that's it for the entire year of 2022.
I will say one other thing before we sign off is I just noticed that when we return to regular programming next year, we will be starting off with One Piece episode 600.
Yeah.
Is that a particularly spicy one, or is it just a number 600 that's kind of...
It's 600. That's big number.
Just big number, yeah.
Number big.
Question. I'm sure you've already covered that next week is a prime marathon and the week after is a full cooling marathon. But there's only like 2 hours or is it of Toonami next week? What's the extra hour being used for?
I don't know.
Well, did you guys see that Yule Log thing that Adult Swim aired?
I heard about it but did not see it.
Oh, you're right. Maybe they just put up a Yule Log.
I'm thinking that's what they're going to do because it's the Yule. I saw it on HBO Max and I kind of skimmed through it. It's basically like Too Many Cooks, just different. And it's like an hour and a half long. So they'll probably like run that twice or something is what I'm thinking.
Okay, I guess maybe that might be it. I don't know. I probably won't be near TV at that around that time anyway. And I figure most people won't, which is why they're doing that marathon. So.
The Yule Law thing is too perfect for them to not air at Christmas on Christmas Day. So I'm assuming that's what they're going to do.
So yeah, that'll do it for this episode of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. Thank you, Crocodile.
My pleasure, and have happy holidays and Merry Christmas. I think it's still Hanukkah going on, right? I don't know how many people are saying Kwanzaa. Happy Kwanzaa as well. And of course, Happy New Year to top it all off.
Thank you, Seacolor.
No problem, and basically everything he said.
We'll see you guys next year! For, I guess, awards.
Yep, and hopefully we get more news about those other shows that, like, I guess are being worked on, haven't been announced yet. Hopefully, you know, Uzumaki's good, and, you know,
Let's get some shows we care about next year. Let's get some actual shows.
Yeah, let's hope that, you know, Toonami's going on an upswing now, and that the acquisition of MHA portends for a good thing, so let's all hope.
Breaking news! David Zaslav has shut down Adult Swim.
Don't you put that evil in us, Wookiee Bobby. Later.